You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio here. Phil Williams, live in the Right Side studios, local, state, national. Man, we cover down on all the issues, and like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. But let me jump over to my comments, and I am not playing when I say that it's time for a fresh set of eyes. All right. We need to get to the point that we are not just keeping people in leadership because they somehow achieved some notable level of mediocrity. We have got to get past the point that we go, well, you know, he is senior to the rest of them. Screw senior. I mean, put somebody in there who will actually do a good job. That's what we need. Somebody who will galvanize and cause people to rise up and want to be a part of something. Well, for right now, I'll be honest with you, it appears that politics is one of the few jobs where you don't have to be good or successful to maintain your position. I mean, to be sure, the vast majority of politicians still have to prove their worth at the polls. But even that's something that can be mitigated with the, you know, the right level of funding or slick ads or the power of the incumbency. But every once in a while, a lack of success catches up and we see a shakeup. This past weekend, the polls appear to have been sufficiently narrowed to indicate that under Mitch McConnell's leadership, the U.S. Senate will remain deadlocked in Democrat hands by basically the same narrow majority that we had before, after spending millions of dollars on doing nothing. In essence, under McConnell's watch and on his terms, the Republican Senate leadership snatched defeat from the jaws of victory. Well, the House is set to fare somewhat better, despite the fact that House races are often more grassroots than statewide Senate races. There was not the expected response from those grassroots. The House, under leader Kevin McCarthy, will likely soon have a majority, but it'll be a bare-bones majority. But a majority nonetheless. Not a mandate for the House, but at least they will have the ability to put some of the nonsense to rest while Republicans lick their wounds and figure out what to do next. After all, the next presidential election begins in the coming months, literally, in the coming months. And if the current leadership is allowed to keep their positions despite having produced nothing worthwhile, then we should expect another tepid result come 2024. But truth be told, they don't deserve to keep their positions. I mean, I can name some things that McConnell and McCarthy did right during their tenures, but at this point, I don't know that it matters. It's not enough for the simple majority in one of the two houses to be in slightly more conservative hands. There will be no charting of a different course for this country if we just keep on keeping on with the same old tired go-along-to-get-along leadership. It's time for some measure of accountability to be felt by those who presided over the vast nothingness that became the 2022 midterms. History dictates that a change in leadership is sometimes the only cure for the malaise of mediocrity. And make no mistake, the results of last week's elections were mediocre at best. And yet I have heard no comments from McConnell, and only glowing shucks and we'll be okay from McCarthy. Listen, let's look at history for a minute. In March of 1864, Abraham Lincoln was considering what to do with the on-again, off-again results that were being handed to him by his top generals. The results of the losses at the Battle of Shiloh, the slow and painful efforts in the attempts to seize control of the Mississippi River, Lincoln's top general McClellan and the Army of the Potomac were just kind of plodding along in his view, and that loss at Shiloh, that was a rout with epic losses, by the way, on both sides. But one man in the middle of it all caught Lincoln's eye. Ulysses S. Grant was unconventional. He was a graduate of West Point, but he had resigned his commission a few years prior to the war and had then gone on to be unsuccessful in life outside the Army. But when war broke out, Grant returned, and despite resistance from some, he was given a charter to lead what was known as a commissioned volunteer. But he proved himself on the battlefield over and over again. Old boy was rough as a cob, and he was alleged to be a heavy drinker, but Grant was nonetheless a common man in an uncommon job who got very uncommon results. And after the Battle of Shiloh, Grant did something that most of the leaders did not do. He took full responsibility. And then he reinforced his lines, and within a short amount of time, he countered the Confederate attacks, and he re-seized Pittsburgh Landing and seized control of the Mississippi River. But nonetheless, Grant had his detractors. You see, Grant was despised by the establishment. He was an upstart that high society and comfortable generals said, this could not be trusted. We just can't trust him. On one occasion, Lincoln was urged to fire him, But Lincoln is said to have responded, quote, "I can't spare this man. He fights." And soon after that, Grant went on to seize Vicksburg, Chattanooga, and Knoxville and captivated the nation. And in March of 1864, Lincoln came to the determination that mediocrity kills, and he needed to shake things up by changing out the entire leadership of the Union forces. So Lincoln looked for the one thing that worked. He looked for the man that was actually getting results. And for the first time since George Washington, the rank of lieutenant general, 3 stars, was created. And Grant pinned on his 3rd star and took charge of all Union forces. In the end, Grant and Lincoln became fast friends, and together they forged a victory that reunited the United States. They were so close that Grant was actually supposed to have been with Lincoln at Ford Theater on the night of his assassination, but he declined because his wife did not feel like attending. So a change in leadership. What would have happened if Lincoln had listened to all of the old establishment do-nothings? What if Lincoln had handed the reins to someone who was just deemed more acceptable because they know how to go along and get along with others? Well, the establishment wanted somebody more like them. The establishment wanted somebody more like their sensible notions of what it means to compromise and to maintain the status quo. But Lincoln did not acquiesce. He appointed Grant, and they won the war, and they saved the nation. 50 years later, the United States helped win the First World War, and just 80 years after that, 80 years after the time that Grant was appointed, the United States saved the whole world for a second time in World War II. It was only after Lincoln changed out the leadership and appointed Grant that the United States saw the invention of things like manned flight and mass assembly line productions and the Great Migration to our shores. So flip the script here. Go back to current politics. If the current heads of the House and Senate caucuses and the head of the National Republican Party are allowed to maintain their positions in the wake of the feckless results that they just got, then it will only be because the establishment wing of red politics caved in and decided to go along to get along. It's time for a change, y'all. It's time. It is time for someone who can fight. We need only to look at the results of a well-orchestrated plan and an expiring platform down in Florida just to see the kind of results that apparently people want. So make that the model, and then go appoint some new leaders who will chase that model and inspire people to galvanize around it, and the kind of thing that we can look at like Lincoln did of Grant and say, we can't spare them because they know how to fight. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, I ain't playing. I mean, Mitch McConnell, Kevin McCarthy, they've done some good things in their time, certainly. Ronna McDaniel, head of the RNC, I get it. But you know what? Own it. You did a horrible job at taking back the majority at a time when you should have had no problem doing so. Spent millions of dollars to put us right back where we started from. And that's unacceptable. And it's time for them to go. That's my position. Wonder what y'all think. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right. I got a caller on the line, Boomer. I didn't see it on the board, so I just looking over there to make sure. It's Monday. Brother, it's Monday all day long. Is it Steve from Tennessee? Is that right? Yeah. Okay, let's do it. On whatever line he happens to be on, I'll take Steve from Tennessee. Hey, Steve, how you doing?
Hey, Phil, I'm wonderful. I was going to say your monologue was really, really good. And we've got such vapid leadership at the top of our political party. And here's the thing, Phil. Why are we putting up with this? We would never put up with this if it was a football team.
No.
You thought about that? We're putting up with rule breaking and vapid leadership. And if it was our college football team, man, we'd be having a hissy fit.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of just kind of sitting around and like you said, all shucks. And they saw it coming. They knew what was coming, and they left people on the battlefield. That's the part that really hacks me off. We had candidates that have busted their butt, and for a few million here or there that they had, he used that money, McConnell, to position himself and thinks he's got his own nest feathered. They need to yank that nest out from under that man and get rid of him.
Well, I agree.
That's exactly how I feel, to the bottom of my core. I'm sick of him.
Well, I appreciate it. And Steve, thank you for that. By the way, thanks for your comments on the monologue. And I look at it too, and I'm thinking, and you know, age is not always a qualifier. But he's 82 years old. When does he step aside? I mean, how long do you have to stay in the position till you're like 104? What's the deal?
Man, I don't know. I got a lot of things about him. The fact that his wife's brothers are basically, you know, in the Communist Chinese Party. I mean, come on. I just worry about a lot of things there. But there's another aspect to this. You know, the press kind of set us up. I don't know. I know you went through Ranger School and you went through POW training.
Yeah.
Give them hope, take it away. Give them hope, take it away. Give them hope, take it away.
Oh, yeah.
And we're in the middle of that, you know, hope taken away phase right now. We got to buck up.
Yeah, man.
Because regardless of what happened, we let this happen because we knew the guy at the top didn't have any bullets in his magazine. I mean, he's just that way.
Wow.
So there you go.
Steve, appreciate you, man.
I appreciate you big time.
Absolutely.
All right, yes, sir.
Thank you, buddy. See you. That was spot on. Man, I'm telling you what, I got a little reverb too, buddy. Could you hear it? Like I had echo. I'm echoing myself, but I'm back now. Okay, I'm good. Maybe it was it was a phone. Okay, good deal. All right. Sorry, technical discussion on the side. What do you do? I mean, you just have to have the conversation. But hey, listen, and I appreciate callers like Steve who lay it on. We got a bunch of folks already texting in about the monologue. I mean, I bet we just went through 10 or 12, just boom, 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 right there. I think the general sentiment is exactly what I'm saying. This is one of those occasions where you look at some things and you think, okay, all right. Sometimes politicians truly do hear from the people and they get it and they respond accordingly. Sometimes they are in the bubble. And I get it. And there are times in Montgomery where a constituent would say, well, that bill doesn't even do this. And I would say, the bill does do that. I've read it. Have you read it yet? I mean, I'd have those conversations like I know for a fact that maybe I knew something because I was in the position, but this is not that. This is results-oriented leadership. And what we're not seeing right now is a sense of ownership by McCarthy, who is still posturing hard to be the speaker. And I get it. He wants to be the speaker, but hey. And then the other one being McConnell, who has been presiding over basically nothingness now for how long? Now, there's things that both have done right, and I get it. Like McConnell, for instance, we have a federal court system filled with Trump appointees right now because McConnell was committed to getting, you know, them through when we had the opportunity. But you can't just keep doing things like, we didn't get rid of Obamacare. Couldn't preserve the Trump tax cuts. We couldn't stand up and actually filibuster in time. Whatever. I mean, how long do we have to just keep going, he's been there a long time. He's earned the right. No, he hasn't. Now, the interesting dynamic you're going to see with Kevin McCarthy. And by the way, let me back up. Do not forget that the RNC, the Republican National Committee, bears some sense of responsibility too. Because the RNC is out there allegedly helping, mobilizing, vetting, raising money for candidates, all right? The RNC is the flagship. Now, the RNC is different from the Senate Republican caucus or the House Republican caucus and their respective campaign re-election PACs. But at the same time, you know there is a concerted effort. I know for a fact. I knew what it was like. I remember back in the day when we were going through the Doug Jones thing, and I was a party chairman. I was on the calls, and hearing, okay, here's how the party is coordinating with the higher ups, and here's what McConnell is sending our way, and wah la 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 la. And the bottom line is fecklessness. And I'm thinking it's just time. Ronna McDaniel, I'm sorry, you're a nice person, but you got to go. And Mitch McConnell, got to go. And Kevin McCarthy, here's McCarthy's challenge in the House. It looks like we're going to have the majority, the Republicans, but it's going to be a narrow majority. The one highlight that I see out of having a narrow House majority, because we will still be able to do stuff, but a narrow House majority gives the Conservative Freedom Caucus more clout. If there was a huge majority, then they don't have to worry about what the Freedom Caucus says. They can go squishy and be okay. With a narrow majority, now every vote counts. And oh, by the way, the House Freedom Caucus is already announcing they're putting somebody up against Kevin McCarthy. And if they don't get the leadership position, at the very least, they're going to make themselves known and get some concessions for things that they believe conservatives want done. So that's going to be interesting. All right, more on this. I'm coming right back with job changes, state and federal. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.